The primary election is almost here. Vote centers will be open May 7th from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Make your vote count. Visit vote.indy.gov for more information. This message was paid for by the Marion County Election Board.
Hey everybody, I'm Bob Lovell. This is Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. Glad you're with us. We got a lot of stuff going on. Coming up, we're going to talk with Matt Taylor from the Indianapolis Colts. Talk a little Colts football. You can always talk about that. And we're going to talk some basketball. Congrats to Purdue. Talk about that. Right now, though, the man who has everything you need to know on a busy Saturday night is Network Indiana's Eddie Garrison.
Jeffersonville of Lafayette. Think outside the box. Store. QualitySupplyAndTool.com.
Thank you, Coach Lovell. 30 minutes down, 120 to go. There's 20 minutes left in the current Final Four game featuring the UConn Huskies and the Alabama Crimson Tide. 44-40 is the halftime score. Huskies with that four-point advantage. Stephen Castle is the leading scorer for the Huskies. He's got 13 points. The leading scorer for the Crimson Tide, Mark Sears. He is yet to miss. He's 5-for-5 from the floor. 11 points. He did get in a little bit of foul trouble in the first half. He picked up two fouls for Alabama. Earlier, before that, though, the Purdue Boilermakers, they're moving on to the national championship game for the first time since 1969.
Jump shot for Taylor. No good. Rebounded by Lawyer. And that's it. Purdue in pursuit of a championship. They will play for the national title. The Boilermakers advance. 63-50.
Ian Eagle with the call on TBS. After the team left the floor, Matt Painter delivered a message in the locker room. This courtesy of Purdue Sports on Twitter/X.
Way to grind it out. Like those games like that, it doesn't matter. You win and you advance, put yourself in position, obviously to play for a national championship. All right, we'll stay process-based here, right? We'll get our rest. We'll keep doing the same things that we've been doing, and then get ready for whoever wins this game. All right, great job.
In this game, Zach Edey, 20 points, 12 rebounds, his 29th double-double of the season. That is a Big Ten record. His sixth consecutive NCAA tournament double-double. That is a tournament record for the big fella. Other contributors, key was Lance Jones in this one. Four threes, all of them big. He had the dagger to cap off a 14-1 run from the Purdue Boilermakers late in the second half. He had 14 points in totality. Fletcher Lawyer, 11 points. Braden Smith played all 40 minutes like Zach Edey. He struggled from the floor, 1-of-9, 1-of-5 from downtown. But he did have 8 rebounds and 6 assists and 3 steals in Purdue's win. The last player to help Purdue in terms of a coaching staff with the Final Four was Billy Keller. He was also a part of the 1969 team with Rick Mount. He was on Query & Company earlier this week on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan, and he applauded the job Matt Painter's done this season as a coach.
And I do. I love Matt Painter's demeanor with the players. You know, he's always calm, seems like to me. He's always calm and collected. He's always coaching players when they come off the floor. I think these players are not only playing for themselves, but they're playing for Matt Painter, and I think they're also playing for the Purdue fans. I think that's what they've got to do. They've got to continue to do what they've been doing.
If you have not seen the videos on social media, Purdue fans are taking over West Lafayette, and they're taking over Phoenix. So check out our Twitter at IND Sports Talk for some of those videos. Once again, halftime in Arizona. The other Final Four game, UConn 44, Alabama 40. Baseball earlier today, the Cincinnati Reds with a come-from-behind win over the New York Mets, courtesy of Spencer Steer.
One ball, one strike on Steer. Right-hander sets ready. And here comes the 1-1 pitch. Steer swings. High, long fly ball. Deep left center field. Way back. It is gone! Into the first row of seats, a 3-run home run for Spencer Steer. And And the Reds have the lead.
Spencer Steers' three-run home run, courtesy of WLW and the Reds Radio Network, put the Reds up 8-5 over the Mets. That was a part of a five-run bottom of the eighth inning Reds win. Fan of, in terms of sport, it is certainly your time of the year right now.
All right, Indiana State fans, I know you're disappointed. You lost the NIT championship. You played for a championship. Always remember that. Not everyone gets a chance to play for championships. Your team played well, did not win. And now your coach has decided to move on to St. Louis University. For those who are wondering why he would make that move, aside from the money, the A-10 is perceived to be a better conference than the Missouri Valley, depending on what rating system or whatever metric you look at. It's a higher-rated conference. From a coaching standpoint, you want to be in the NCAA tournament. So you are at the Valley, you are in a one-bid league. And at the A-10, historically, you're in a league that has multiple bids on a yearly basis, not to mention quadrupling your salary. I think picking up $2 million to coach, $2 million a year, would be reason enough. And I understand the concept of loyalty and carrying on and building, and I got all that. But I also understand $2 million is $2 million. And, college basketball is in a state of flux, if you will. It's different. It's a different world. I'm a dinosaur. I mean, I did it for a long time, been out of it for a long time, still have a tangential relationship with it through my work with IUPUI. But I also understand, having spent 7 years running all the basketball in the Horizon League, I understand what it's about, how it works, and I don't fault him at all. So congratulations to Coach Schertz, and congratulations again to the Sycamores. Matthew Graves named as the interim coach. You may have seen that earlier today or heard that earlier today. I'm not exactly sure what the specifics are about that, but I think it's a good move. He's a good man. They've got a very capable person, without question. That music means it's time to go to another scoreboard update with Network Indiana's Eddie Garrison.
With this Indiana Sports Talk scoreboard update, I'm Eddie Garrison. Purdue heading to the national championship game. Only the second time in program history they've made it that far, with a win today over the NC State Wolfpack, 63-50. Never really in question either. Purdue pretty much had the lead for the entirety of this game. After the game, Matt Painter shared his thoughts about the contest.
Very competitive game. I thought we were very competitive, thought we played hard. We just didn't play great. I don't think either team played great. You know, if you kind of look at their run to get here and our run to get here, both teams were way better offensively than you saw today. But that happens in basketball at times. So you got to give our guys credit for hanging in there and grinding one out. Really, we've grinded it out the last two games. But, when it's freewheeling and you're scoring the basketball, it's more enjoyable to watch. It's more enjoyable to play. It's more enjoyable to coach. But to win a championship and get six games and be able to win six games, you're going to have a couple games in there, a game or two, to where you just don't play as well offensively, and you got to find a way to win that. So congrats to our guys for finding a way to do that.
Right now, Purdue watching UConn in Alabama, 55-47 in the second half. Timeout Alabama. They've been outscored 11-7 to start the second half of this one. Stephen Castle leads all scorers with 17 points for the UConn Huskies. Minor league baseball, the Indianapolis Indians playing two today. They won the first game 5-4 over the Memphis Redbirds. Game number two just went final, and they won that one as well, 7-5. So the Indianapolis Indians now 5-3 to start the season. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm Eddie Garrison.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Indiana Sports Talk. You heard Eddie talk about minor league baseball, Indians doubleheader. The legendary voice of the Indianapolis Indians, Hall of Famer Howard Kelman joins me. Howard, we win one. How do we do? Do we split or do we win two? Howard. Hello, Howard. Okay, hold on. We'll come, Howard. We'll come back. We'll come back to you. All right. Let's not talk to Howard. Let's talk to Matt Taylor. Matt Taylor, the voice of the Indianapolis Colts. Matt, how are you tonight?
I'm good, Bob. How are you?
Well, not as well as you. Live radio, Matt.
You know how it is.
So, in the midst of all the basketball, I wanted to talk about football because you can always talk about the Indianapolis Colts. Is that not right?
Oh, that's right. It's 24/7, 365. We got the draft coming up. It's going to be here before you know it, end of the month, and that's the lifeblood of the NFL. So let's talk. What we got tonight? Let's go.
Well, I mean, all I'm thinking about is they'll be in training camp before we know it. Will we know? When's training camp? When do they report for camp?
Well, camp's coming up, obviously, later this summer. But the crazy thing is that, you know, guys are going to be in the building for the off-season workout program less than 2 weeks. It's, you know, April 15th is going to be the report day. And the great sign about the Colts is that Anthony Richardson he's healthy in the sense that he's going to be a full participant, you know, in the off-season workout program in the spring. I don't think he's going to have any limitations in terms of throwing. I think it's all great in terms of what it means for the playbook and the synergy for the guys on the field. But I just think more than anything, it's symbolic, right? It's symbolic that he's back, he's healthy, he's ready to go, he's our guy. We're turning the page from 23 to 24, and it's all hands on deck and trying to get back to the playoffs and work out all the speed bumps from last year to this year. There's no doubt he's going to have some rookiness, if you will, making up a total word there. And he's going to have to work that out, right? It's going to be like his rookie season 2.0. But I think it's really important that he gets all of those, as much time on task as possible in the spring and the summer leading into a sophomore campaign.
Yeah, and we also want to remind everybody, he is still technically, basically a rookie. He's got to go back through this. But the learning curve this time around is way, way different. He's learned a lot, understands a lot. And, physically, I can't imagine how he has kept himself mentally into this and prepared. It has to be incredibly frustrating for him to not be able to play and be out there with his teammates.
No, that's right. I mean, I think last year, you know, I think it's kind of like a silver linings playbook, if you want to call it that. I think uh-huh. last year was really beneficial for him, you know, kind of, and I don't know what the right word would be, maybe selfishly, or I just think in the big picture sense for him to realize just how important he is to the success of this franchise, just in terms of how he plays, you know, what he means to this team. I mean, not to put too much pressure on him, but you know, we know how the story goes in the NFL. I mean, franchise quarterbacks take their team as far as they can. I mean, that's the nature of the business in the NFL. And so for him to watch 13 games on the sidelines, you know, it tells him that he's important to this team. It's important in terms of his availability to this team. So I think, you know, missing all of that time helped him mentally, but just psychologically, like, hey, I'm really important to this team because of what I mean in terms of what I can do physically, you know, what I can add to this team from a dynamic standpoint. So I think he really, you know, gained a lesson in terms of how he's going to play, how the Colts, I think, big picture are going to utilize him. You know, they don't want to neuter him. They don't want to take away his ability to be dynamic and to make big plays within the passing game and the running game. But I think big picture, too, I think what it's going to be is the Colts are going to use him kind of like how the Ravens use Lamar Jackson. I think they want to be smart with him, right? It's third down. It's high leverage situations. It's inside the red zone. It's the goal line. You know, got to have it situations. You want the ball into your best playmaker's hands, your best athlete's hands. And that's what I think the Colts are going to do next year with Anthony Richardson. But there's no doubt that I think watching 13 games on the sidelines for him last year, I think it ingrained in him that he's got to play smart. He's got to be available. And there's no question that he is, you know, the biggest piece to this team for next season. That, you know, in the offseason, they re-sign a lot of players in free agency, a lot of core guys, a lot of in-house free agents, because they're banking on Anthony Richardson taking that next step and elevating the game of everybody around him.
Well, you mentioned Baltimore. Ironically, Joe Flacco moves over and becomes the backup quarterback, which I thought was a great move, a timely move. Minshew did what he could do. I think had a decent year, a respectable year. But it'll be another interesting dynamic. I think in some respects this makes him a better team.
Well, I think so too. And you know, I don't think you can begrudge Gardner Minshew leaving the team.
No, not at all.
Because he wants a chance to start and organically compete. And he knows that, you know, if he comes back to the Colts in free agency, the only opportunity he has to see the field is if Anthony Richardson gets hurt or injured, which was the case last year. And he goes to Las Vegas, and that's going to be the situation for him. He's going to compete with Aiden O'Connell for the starting job out there. And I think it makes a lot of sense for Joe Flacco to come in free agency and join the Colts, because he can continue to mentor Anthony Richardson. And also, too, Joe Flacco proved last year this guy can flat out play. I mean, he was 4-1 last year in starts with the Cleveland Browns, taking them to the playoffs in the AFC. And this guy can still throw the deep ball, and that's what the Colts need. They need somebody, whether that's Richardson or the backup quarterback in this sense and Joe Flacco, that can push the ball down the field. And, you know, say what you want about Gardner Minshew, and this is no disrespect at all to his game, but there was just times last year towards the end of the season where it just felt like, Bob, we talked about this, it just felt like times when Gardner Minshew's at the helm, it felt like the Colts were playing on a 15-to-20-yard field where they weren't a threat to push the ball down the field, stretch the field, you know, outside the numbers, or push the ball down the field. I think with Joe Flacco, this guy can still spin it. He still has great arm strength. He can still push it down the field. That's what the Colts, I think, they need to do a better job of, and inherently that's what Richardson can do. And if Flacco has to play in a pinch, he proved last year he can definitely still do that if called upon.
Right. All right, so when's the draft? It's coming up soon, correct?
Draft is at the end of the month, April 25th through the 27th.
Oh, my.
Right? Thursday through Saturday, that weekend.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the NFL, in its quest for total domination, I'm surprised – they have any downtime. you're in it on a day-to-day basis. You know what I'm talking about. There's always something going on.
There's always something going on. Just ask my wife, right? I mean, spring break was 2 weeks ago, and I had to pry myself away just from the job just to get away for 3 or 4 days. So they've done a terrific job of marketing themselves in terms of it's hilarious because you play the Super Bowl, and then 2 weeks later you got the combine. 2 weeks after that you got free agency, and then a month after that you got the draft, and then off-season workout programs, and then boom, here comes training camp. So, yeah, they are the giant that never fully disappears and goes away totally.
Matt Taylor, distinguished alumnus of Franklin College, voice of the Indianapolis Colts. Thanks for spending time with me. Enjoy your time off. Have a great weekend.
My pleasure, Bob. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Coming up, we're talking with Howard Kelman from the Indianapolis Indians after this scoreboard update on Indiana Sports Talk.
With this Indiana Sports Talk scoreboard updates, I'm Eddie Garrison. Basketball of the college variety ongoing. 10:27 left in the second half between the UConn Huskies and the Alabama Crimson Tide. It was a little bit of a momentum shift. Alabama was able to tie it up at 54 apiece. And then UConn, retaking the lead by 8. Timeout currently. UConn's leading scorer is Stephon Castle. He's got 21 points. Cam Spencer is their leading rebounder with 7. Mark Sears leads Alabama in scoring with 14. And Grant Nelson has 11 rebounds for the Crimson Tide. He's actually got a double-double with 13 points. The winner of this game is who Purdue will take on Monday night for the NCAA championship game. They defeated the NC State Wolfpack today 63-50. Zach Edey after the game on TBS about playing in the national championship game on Monday night.
Yeah, it's the one we've been talking about for all year. It's the one I've been talking about for 4 years now. To be able to play in that and accept that challenge next game. You know, whoever comes out of this next game is going to be a great team, but we're going to lock in on game plan and execute.
He played in all 40 minutes, and so did Braden Smith. Two polarizing opposite games for those two. Zach Edey, 20 points, 12 rebounds. Braden Smith, only 3 points. 1 of 9 from the field, 1 of 5 from beyond the 3-point stripe. But he did have 8 rebounds and 6 assists. Purdue picks up their 34th win of the season. In minor league baseball, the Fort Wayne Tin Caps fall to Great Lakes Loons 5-4. And the South Bend Cubs fall in extras to the Quad Cities River Bandits 3-2.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Minor league baseball tonight, Indianapolis Indians, a doubleheader with Memphis. They win 5-4 in the first, 7-5 in the second. Hall of Famer, broadcast legend, and voice of the Indianapolis Indians, Howard Kelman, joins me. Nice day at the ballpark today, Howard. Good day for the Indians.
Bob, it was absolutely wonderful. They sweep the doubleheader. Win the first game 5-4, came from behind, got 3 runs to pull it out, and then they win the nightcap 7-5, came from behind in that one as well. And the hitting star in the nightcap was the local young man, Matt Gorski from Fishers, Hamilton Southeastern High School and Indiana University. He belted a home run, and he also came through with a 2-run double. And the one time they got him out, he drilled a ball to the warning track in center field. So a terrific night for the Indians, Bob, who now have won 4 in a row.
Gorski's a great story. You know, local kid comes back, knocks one out for the fans. What a great night. But listen, these guys are putting some things together early on in the season.
Right. And tonight it was the hitting has been really good. The Indians have a team batting average of close to .300. And for the most part this season, although it wasn't tonight, the starting pitching has been very good. The Indians have had some challenges with their bullpen. But tonight, several of the bullpen guys came through, and they win the doubleheader, and they will wrap up the homestand with a single game tomorrow at 1:35.
All right, and then Monday off, and then what's next week?
They bust to Toledo Tuesday morning and open up a 6-game series in Toledo Tuesday evening.
Indians win again 5-4 in the first, 7-5 in the second game of a doubleheader, beating Memphis. When you're at the ballpark, make sure you pick up Howard's incredibly well-written book, 61 Inspiring and Humorous Lessons I Learned from Baseball. Howard, thank you so much for the call. Have a fantastic weekend.
Bob, as always, thank you very much.
Thanks very much. It's springtime. It must mean spring football. With me to talk about what's happening at Notre Dame from Irish 101, Dr. Lynn Clark. Lynn, thanks so much for the call. What would you and I do in the spring if not talk about Notre Dame football?
Well, Bob, I kind of lost you there. I'm over in Dublin, Ireland. It's 3:30 in the morning, but I have been very closely following the happenings on the Notre Dame campus, especially with Notre Dame football. It was practice number 8 of 12 this morning. The final practice will be the Blue-Gold game on Saturday, April 20th, before the Fighting Irish kick off the 2024 season on the road at Texas A&M on August 31st. But there have been some off-field news this past week. Cornerback Clarence Lewis announced that he was entering the transfer portal to play his fifth season of college football elsewhere. Lewis, during his time at Notre Dame, has played in 50 games, started 23. They lose a lot of experience, but Jaden Mickey and Benjamin Morrison are vets at that position. And quarterback Riley Leonard has been limited in participation, seen limited reps. Steve Angeli is the number one quarterback. Riley Leonard is listed as number two on the depth chart, but he has not been ruled out for the Blue-Gold game. But a real positive has been the offensive line. It's going to be a new look with Blake Fisher moving on. Charles Jagusa, Billy Shrouth, and Ashton Craig from Lawrenceburg High School have had great chemistry this spring. They're playing well together. And then in the backfield, Jadarian Price has really emerged as the leading runner back. He is getting back to the form he did have before he was injured last year. This spring, they're also experimenting with helmet communication. Teams that qualified for the bowl games last year are able to experiment with communicating through the helmet, much like the NFL. And so there's going to be a vote later on this month to find out if that is going to become the norm in college football. So the Irish trying to get a jump on that as well under new offensive coordinator Mike Elston. And so just getting ready for the start of the Blue-Gold game. And then also this past week, Jack Swarbrick officially retires from Notre Dame. Pete Bavakwa takes over as the athletic director. And one of the first things that he stated is Notre Dame's commitment to staying as an independent in college football. So that, Bob, and Notre Dame's lacrosse team, number one in the country, they've got a game this afternoon as the number three team in the country, Duke, comes into Notre Dame Stadium, as the Irish are 6-1 on the year, trying to repeat as national champions.
Now, I forgot. I apologize. I forgot you were in Dublin. And it makes me wonder if you are applying for dual citizenship right now because of your extensive time in Dublin.
Well, once again, I'm back here. I really enjoy my time over here working with sports broadcasters and other broadcasters well and working on some projects. But I'm heading on a plane tomorrow, although there's been some bad weather, kind of delayed, but might have to spend some more time here in Dublin. And I wouldn't mind that
if I had to make a decision. Would be horrible. Yeah. All right. When's the Blue-Gold? When's the Blue-Gold game?
Okay, that's coming up on Saturday, April 20th, so 2 weeks coming up, and this will be a chance to hopefully see Riley Leonard getting some action and really to get a glimpse of what the Fighting Irish are going to put on the field coming up this August. But another positive, we've got the Will linebacker, starting linebacker, sixth-year man Jack Kaiser out of Royal Center, Indiana. He is going to be leading that defense as well. So that's another positive. A couple of Indiana kids really showing what they've got and their leadership, and that's going to be a big difference coming up this fall.
He is the man, Irish 101, live from Dublin, Ireland, Lynn Clark, Dr. Lynn Clark. Spring football continuing at Notre Dame, Blue-Gold game coming up on the, what did you say, 21st, 20th?
Coming up on Saturday the 20th.
Saturday the 20th. Have a safe trip. I'll talk to you when you come back, Lynn. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you. We're going global right now. There it is. Eddie Garrison, global. This is the global Indiana Sports Talk.
Wouldn't it be worldwide?
We're talking about, why not, for heaven's sakes? I'm just saying.
Don't short yourself to global now. Come on.
Well, universal. How's that?
There we go.
The universal, the global Bob network is thing. It's a plan I've had for a long time, but still working out the details. What's happening in what's happening with Alabama and UConn?
UConn is up right now by 6. 8 minutes left in the second half. 67-61.
Oh, a lot of time. A lot of time, but I don't know if Alabama has enough about them that they can overcome this small deficit. But the way they shoot the three, it's all possible. But I think we're looking at, as a lot of us thought would be, a UConn-Purdue matchup on Monday. That will be fun. That will be absolutely fun. You got scoreboard update coming up soon. What's happening scoreboard update wise? Kind of give me a tease on that.
Give you a little bit more in terms of an update of this UConn game and a couple more pieces of sound from after the game of this Purdue win. We'll hear from Rick Mount. He was on Query & Company earlier this week. He shared his thoughts on this Purdue team and how he thinks there's some similarities between the 2023-2024 team and that 1968-1969 Purdue team that last made the NCAA tournament championship game.
Well, one of the differences is they didn't. This Purdue team doesn't have him.
That's true.
The Rocket himself was, you know, I was in high school at the time, obviously. And Eddie, if you've ever seen it, you need to go on YouTube, get some old videos of Rick Mount in action. They're phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. And to this day, can outshoot anybody you know. He could go out there right now and Mackey and outshoot Lance Jones, line him up, put anybody you want to against Rick Mount in shooting the basketball, shoot behind the arc, whatever, they won't beat him. He's still that good. At his age, he's still that good.
During the conversation, he revealed that he still gets shots up to, like, to this very day. Like, he'll go to his local park and he'll shoot 100, right, 200 free throws every day.
All right. When we come back after your scoreboard update, I'll give you one. I'll give you my Rick Mount story about the park. Okay, Eddie Garrison, scoreboard update. We're coming up on Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk.
With this Indiana Sports Talk scoreboard update, I'm Eddie Garrison. Purdue in the national championship game for college basketball for the first time since 1969, only the second time in program history. That team fell to UCLA by 20, 92-72. The leading scorer of that Purdue team, he was second all-time until this season when Zach Edey surpassed him. That was Rick Mount. He was on Query & Company on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan earlier this week. And he shared what he sees in terms of a similarity between the 1969 team and this 2024 team.
And I think this team right now, Smith said it pretty well last week, we are on a mission. And I love when he said that because we were on a mission too. We didn't talk trash. We didn't make fun of people. When we got between those lines and laced them up, we're going to beat your ass. That's what it was all about.
Pretty straight and to the point. Purdue today did just that against NC State. 63-50 was the final score. Zach Edey, 20 points and 12 rebounds, six consecutive NCAA tournament games with at least 20 and 10. That is a record dating back to last tournament. Currently, UConn leading Alabama 69-61, under 6 minutes to go in that contest. Major League Baseball today, the Cincinnati Reds with the win over the New York Mets 9-6. The Reds get 5 runs in the bottom of the 8th inning. Spencer Steer's 3-run homer put the Reds ahead. The St. Louis Cardinals lost to the Miami Marlins, or defeated the Miami Marlins today 3-1, making Miami 0-9 on the season.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Indiana Sports Talk brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. All right, Eddie, here's my Rick Mount story.
I'm
by
ready.
The way, he's a pretty straight shooter. This is, I don't know how many years ago, but Charlie Hall was the game director of the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Game and asked me if I would be willing to drive to Lebanon and tape an interview with Rick Mount about the All-Stars and what being an All-Star meant to him and all of that. And he said, we're going to do this on one day. He said, then the next day, we're gonna go to Cincinnati, and I want you to sit down and interview Oscar Robertson. And so, yeah, wait a minute. See if I got this right. Back-to-back days, I'm going to get a chance to sit and interview Rick Mount and Oscar Robertson. Yeah, I'll walk. You don't even have, I don't have to drive. I'll just go ahead and walk and do it. So we drive to Lebanon, which, by the way, Eddie, was where I was born. I was actually born in Lebanon. grew up in Plainfield. But anyway, we go to Mount's house. Charlie, you know, we drive the house, get out of the car, walk up, knock on the door. Rick comes out. Bob, how you doing? Great to see you. Love listening to your show and on. He goes, you guys ready to go to the park? I say, yeah. You know, so we jump in. He gets in his car and follows us over to the park. My handy guy to get out of the car, and we're in the park in Lebanon. Everybody knows where it is. And Rick and I start knocking down jump shots and talking, and we stop, and I interview him, have a great time. It was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day. And it can't get any better except going to Cincinnati the next day to talk to Oscar Robertson. We met him at the Montgomery Inn, had lunch with him, and with the backdrop of the river in the background, sit down and talk to him. And I'm sitting in my home office here in Franklin, and with pictures of those two guys and me doing what we do, two of my most prized possessions. So that's my Rick Mount story. How'd I do?
That sounds like a pretty memorable one that would stick into the brain, especially considering that you go from interviewing one of the greatest shooters of all time to one of the greatest basketball players of all time. So I'd say that's
the best of all time. I got Jordan and all this other Oscar, the best. Just saying, my perspective, the best. All right, Purdue's playing UConn. Is that it?
Seems likely. UConn now up 10 on Alabama. Oh, the three-point shooting for the Tide in the second half has just not been there. That's why Alabama is now down by double digits, just 2 of 10 from three-point range in this second half. And Donovan Klingon's making his presence felt for UConn. He is protecting the paint, preventing Alabama from getting any easy looks. He's got three blocks, just had an offensive putback, so he's starting to take over a little bit for the Huskies. And that's the matchup you circle on Monday night if this game ends out the way it looks. And you have Donovan Klingon and Zach Edey going at it, arguably two of the best centers in college basketball.
We'll find out.
That's right.
That's absolutely for sure. All right. All right, Eddie, what else is going on? Are you good? You're all set, ready to go? We got plenty of top of the hour scoreboard update coming up. You got a lot to talk about.
Oh, yeah. I'll hit on some more of the baseball scores from today, get into the minor leagues a little bit. And then Pacers owner Herb Simon was inducted into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame.
How about that?
So,
yeah.
Got a little bit of sound in terms of that from him on finally being inducted in this upcoming 2024 class.
Well, congratulations to the Simon family, to Herb, and to the Pacers. They are an example of how you should conduct your lives and be great corporate citizens of your communities. And they certainly have been. I don't know what downtown would be like without the influence of the Simons, and obviously now Pacers and the Colts, but it starts with the commitment made by the Simons and the Simon family and the Indiana Pacers years ago, and in the revitalization of downtown. It's a vibrant and important part of our state, clearly our city and our state. Scoreboard update coming up with the top of the hour. Short break, and we'll come back, talk some more ball on Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. Welcome back, everyone. This is Indiana Sports Talk, season number 30. The legendary show, and what a great, great weekend of basketball. What a great week of basketball. You go back and think about the run of the Sycamores, in the NIT semifinals at Hinkle with a W, get into the championship game and lose a heartbreaker to Seton Hall, and then the disappointment continues, unfortunately, with Coach Josh Schertz announcing his departure, heading to St. Louis University, member of the Atlantic 10 Conference. And subsequent to that, the announcement that Matthew Graves, assistant coach there, former assistant at Butler, former Butler standout, White River Valley standout, will be the interim coach. And so, you know, the idea, what I read was that they'll conduct a national search, and I'm not sure beyond that what all that means. But congratulations to Matthew. I hope that he's able to turn that into the full-time position. He's a great guy. I think he'd be a tremendous choice for that, if I'm able to editorialize on that. So, and again, you know, I mentioned it earlier. People say, well, why would you want to leave Indiana State and go to the St. Louis University? St. Louis U didn't have much success. Travis Ford was released from that position earlier in the year. And so I mentioned earlier, and I think aside from the money, which is substantial, you'd be picking up reportedly $2 million a year. And you're going from the Missouri Valley Conference, which is a nice conference, a good conference, but it is a one-bid league. And if you're a coach, you want to be in the NCAA tournament, and your chances are better in a conference like the A-10, who have had multi-bid situations a number of times, as opposed to the Valley, who seems now to have, you know, with the teams coming and going, if you will, their ratings are not as high as they used to be. And so there are not as many teams that are getting into postseason play. So these are some of the dynamics of coaching in college basketball in this day and age. And so congratulate Coach Schertz, congratulate Coach Graves, and wish the Sycamores well, and hope that they're able to continue this momentum that they have. And I'm sure there are plenty of great players in our state who'd be very interested in being there. Now, coming up in the next hour, and talk some more basketball, Brendan King will join us. We'll talk about South Bend Cubs baseball. Also, Garrett Weininger, the head coach at Fishers. They were the 4A champ. We're going to talk to him about his team and their championship run last weekend. And Kip Westner, the publisher of Hoosier Basketball Magazine, will join us, and we'll spend time talking about the Top 60 workout tomorrow at Marion University. Top of the hour scoreboard update coming up with Eddie Garrison. I'm Bob Lovell, and this is the legendary Indiana Sports Talk.